Welcome back, everybody, to Sight to the Blind. I got a special guest on here with a unique backstory. So I'm going to let my guest introduce himself. What's up, fam?
Hey, how you doing, Larry? My name is Timothy Welcome, 37 years old, out of Compton, California, originally. Moved out to Virginia around 2005, 2006. Mm-hmm. And it's been a journey. It's been a journey from that transition from moving from California to Virginia. Actually moved to Virginia to live with my brother due to my father passing in 2006 to a heart attack. Mm. A little background of my story. My father was a pastor. He had his own church. My mother, she was a police officer for LAPD for 25 years. So the dynamic in my household was, of course, I was raised in a Baptist Christian background. Growing up, going to church was a thing to do. It wasn't like I was going there every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday type of Bible study type of thing. But we grew up in a church. Seeing my father preach on Sundays and going up there to shake other guests' hands and being with him and seeing him in that dynamic was something great to see. And I guess that instilled in me, I guess, my faith in how I still move today. Mm. So like I said, when he passed in 2006, I came out here in Virginia to move with my brother. I got locked up in 2008, probably a year after of me being out here in Virginia, due to me losing my father. I can say that probably sent me on a spiral to where the way my father passed and the story behind his passing is very personal and very hard to tell sometimes. To this day, I haven't really fully processed my father's death because I feel I have direct connection of how he passed and the way he passed and just my connection with the Heavenly Father and how this things moved in the way it happened. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it was just a very personal thing for me to get into it a little bit. The way he passed, he died on the day I tried to take off work or actually took off work. Mm-hmm. I used a lie to tell to get off of work and use my father as the reason for me getting off of work. And finding out later that day that he passed the same day that I used my father as an excuse to get off work. And so that hit me pretty hard. Didn't cry at the funeral, but I was like numb to the feeling. Like I said, to this day, still haven't fully processed everything of what happened. So I'll say when I got locked up in 2008, I didn't know any information of what I know now as far as being awakened. Being in the truth and knowing the world system that we live in. Mm-hmm. It was kind of hints throughout my lifetime of it being there, of it calling my name or hearing the spirit call to me to awaken me up. But my real awakening didn't happen until 2008 when I was locked up in prison in Virginia.
Okay. So what part of Virginia are you living in?
Right now, Woodbridge, Virginia, like Northern Virginia area.
Okay. My father used to be around Alexandria, Virginia. I got people in Tappahannock. Yeah. So I know the area. Mm-hmm. So when you came into the truth when you were locked up, what did you see or how did you feel going through that process?
A lot of information that started to download into my brain and just connecting with different people that was in the system. Like I said, I already had a Christian background, so the word was already in me. I knew the word, studied the word, read the Bible. A real transition that happened, a good story. Before then, I was into music. I introduced some music by my cousin at a young age, started rapping, wanted to do my little own rap group with my my older brother. We had our own little rap group. Nothing major, just kids rapping and trying to, I guess, make it in the business. Then me fast forward to being in prison and still trying to do music and be, I guess, a Christian at the time, the two didn't balance out. Mm-hmm. So I had to make a decision then of, am I going to lead this life of rapping, of falsifying information or glamorous lifestyle, or am I going to stand on principles and walk in the faith and see what where the life of the Father would take me. Mm-hmm. So I had to make that decision. I had a funny story. We was at REC. We're all on the bench playing music, playing the beats on the table, rapping, freestyling. And it came to my turn. I said my verse, but nobody was really listening or paying attention. So that kind of discouraged me. Heard other people say their pieces. Everybody flocked to them. And so that put in my spirit, okay, this isn't for me. Mm-hmm. So let me put this down, because I can't do both. Because I was trying to do both. Can't go to Bible study and then go back in the cell and write raps talking about drugs and violence and all that at the same time. So it didn't add up. So I had to put that down and got fully into the word. Started studying and reading up on things. And the most important thing to me was the names and who the name of Jesus really was and who the name of God really was. That always stood out to me of what are the real names. I can say that's where my first, I guess, instance started from, is figuring out the actual names, because I always had it in my head of these just can't be the names. Right. How are we these Greek and these translations, but we come from a Hebrew background. Mm-hmm. So we get transition or translation that changes name to this, but we have his name recorded in the Old Testament as the original way. So it always stuck out to me. My mother, she's a diehard Christian, to where I even brought it to her attention. And she said, well, my response is from asking these questions is, well, the Father knew in time of what was going to happen. So in his all understanding and all knowing power, he knew his name was going to be translated to what it is now, and to where we can still worship his name and call him this, even though it has been translated to such and such, or God as they call him today. Mm. So after getting into that, really getting into word, I went through a discipleship class, got some credentials under my belt to say I do know the word and I can actually spread the word and teach other guys about the gospel. Really attended church every time. And then I'll say when I moved to another camp, I started getting really heavy into it, to where guys have started coming to me to ask me if I could run some of the Bible studies that we have. Mm-hmm. And it led me to become one of the teachers of the Young Brothers classes, giving out sermons, Bible studies, and that nature. So, that's where I say mine's kind of started from.
And you feel like you're trying to carry that torch that your father already started, tell it the truth in a different way than he pasteurized. I'm pretty sure he was given Christian doctrine, and now you have the opportunity to give Israelite doctrine. Do you feel the connection of this is where you knew you were going to head down this path?
Not me. Other people saw it and seen it. I'm still kind of hesitant to it. I can present the word to you and give you a clear, good message, but I don't want to water it down to where it's like every other pastor that was giving it a feel-good message to just get you through the day, or just get you through the little moment of your life that you're getting through to feel good, and then next Sunday you need a refill. Because I was starting to feel, when I'm hearing these messages, I'm not getting anything out of it. It's pretty much regurgitated information Sunday after Sunday telling me love your neighbor, or the prosperity gospel that's real heavy when I was in the system. I'll say from 2008 to 2012, I was really heavy, I guess, into watching like T.D. Jakes, Kenneth Copeland, and people of that nature. And just start hearing them and seeing their, I guess, blessings and their fortune of what they amassed from being in the faith. It really didn't correlate to what I'm reading and how a man of the Most High is really supposed to be. Right. And then I got into a small group of individuals, of believers, to where it was a small gathering, to where we didn't really believe in the big open, like we need to be seen to be heard. Just a small gathering of believers really preaching the word and hearing the gospel and living the principles of what it truly is to be on this path of what we call the way, or what it was originally called in the Bible, the way, not Christianity, or what, you know, as what's populated today.
Right. And how was that coming out of that? Like, how did you come out of Christianity? I know since your mom's is the devout Christian, your father actually is a pastor, how did you come out of that? How did you take steps to come out of religion?
The steps I took, like I said, listening to other guys, I got to dabble in, or I'll say research and study up on different religions as far as being in prison. Muslims, five percenters, other sects of religions that are in prison. I learned from them and read upon their religions and studied those just to get a mindset of how they operate and what they believe in and how it kind of correlates with my faith. And just seeing that all of it took from the one book that we read today, and all of them just have been sects that just branched off into their own understanding and just made into their own religions. Mm-hmm. And so what made me step away from religion is I almost kind of shut down from believing, period. Mm-hmm. To where I'm like, okay, well, if the Bible has been mistranslated, people are saying this is the slave Bible, the white man gave us this, this is a control thing, this is all fake, this is a simulation that you're in. Well, let me step away from it all then. I still kept a belief of a higher power that controlled everything, but as far as religion, I had to kind of step away from that completely to fully come to where I am now to say, okay, this is what it is, this is the Bible, this is the word of the Most High, and this is his son. And coming out of Christianity and stepping back and seeing how hypocritical we are and we were, I'll speak from a standpoint of being in the Christianity world, of being hypocritical in that sense, it made me step back to see and say, hey, I don't need to be a Christian or say I'm a Christian if I'm going to still be living a certain life and doing A, B, and C. So why do I need to have a title to say I'm a Christian, I guess, to disguise my sin in a sense? So it made me step away from that to strip everything down and just become one with the relationship. Because that's what I've been told throughout my life as well. Build your personal relationship. Come with him before him with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So it made me step away and just get my own personal connection. And that's when I was just got downloaded with this different information, my mind being opened up to new things and seeing what really was what.
Well, what was the hardest thing for you to let go of when you were leaving the world? What was the hardest thing to kind of put down that you kept going back to?
The hardest thing, and I'm going not lying to you at all, Larry, I would say smoking and music. Mm. Smoking and music. As much as I try to tell myself, this isn't, because the last episode that you had, you said we spoke on it being self-soothing and using that as a self-soother and not using it, and I guess as much as we use it in moderation. So I'll say smoking for me is one of the biggest things that I'm having a hard time kind of dealing with. That's one of my vices.
And you feel it comes from somewhere? Where do you think it comes? It comes from you just, is this a normal behavior, or do you do it in times of stress or when you're thinking about something? What puts you in that space?
I'll say both. For the amount of time that I have been doing it, it has become to where, I guess in my understanding, it has become part of everyday life to where it has been a coping mechanism. It has been something to use where I'm feeling anxious or anxiety or anger, and I need something to calm me down. And I'll say that would be my vice that I will run to.
Okay. And have you tried to come to the Father when you feel these type of emotions, or you just go right to that? Because I know when I go to my vices, I think, all right, should I go pray? But I'll go pray and then turn around. I'll be like, all right, it ain't working. And then I'll go right back to the vice. Mm-hmm. Have you thought in that process to include the Most High before you make that decision, or you just
I do. And what's funny is I'm coming into a realization because, oh man, I tell myself all the time, Heavenly Father, please just take this away from me. A few weeks ago, I said, this is my last time buying marijuana. I don't need to buy anymore. I'm 37 years old. The path that I'm trying to walk on, and just health-wise and spiritual reasons is why did I want to stop? And I told myself, like, please, just give me the discipline. And I'm coming now into a realization that this is my discipline that I'm having to go through of having the test of having the feeling to want to smoke, and then having the faith enough to say, no, I don't need that, or having something else to direct that energy towards, which is going to be working out. I was a very avid person in the system working out heavy. That was my thing to get away to. My two things was the word and the workout. Mm. That was my motto of keeping me sane and keeping my mind clear of being in prison. The word and the workout, that's all I needed. So now as I'm out here in the free world, that's what I'm trying to transition over into, is you going back into, I guess, me getting healthy and getting my body back right and using that as my escape instead of using something to calm me down, sedate me, and bring me under subjection of, you know, to be open to other things that are probably not good for me.
Right. How long was you locked up?
I was locked up for 8 years. I was out in 2016, September. I went in, I want to say August of 2007.
And this decision was based on, as you were talking about, your father's passing?
Yes. I spiraled out of control, moved out here to Virginia with my older brother, got told a story of mi casa, su casa. That wasn't the setup when I came out here. I had to get my own, got my own job. The living situation that we were in, it wasn't conducive for three adults to live in. Mm. So it came to a point to where I had to leave. Me and my brother bumped some heads on that situation, and I ended up staying with a friend of mine that I had ended up meeting at the same apartment complex that he lived in. Excuse me. So I had moved out from there. And through that time of me and my brother bumping heads, I did something to my brother that kind of led me down the path that led me up to getting incarcerated. Going back to out of the lifestyle of what I left from California, running the streets, smoking, running out of restaurants, not paying the bills, robbing who we saw on the street for whatever items that they had, and coming out here to try to start over from my father passing and to get away from that lifestyle, just to end up back into it, to where I ended up robbing a Domino's store. I ended up robbing the manager of a Domino's set up by my ex-girlfriend at the time. And it's a wild story, Larry, I'll tell you. This is how I know that my life, I guess, is it really in his hands. During that time period of me actually wanting to do the robbery, I had three times to do it. Each time that I went out that night, I said, I'm about to do this and it's going to happen. I needed the money to pay rent. I was getting evicted, about to be homeless. I'm about 21 years old at this time, living on my own. Already had a falling out with my brother, had a falling out with my mom. Father passed away. Family on my father's side, didn't hear from them. Family on my mother's side, didn't hear from them. Kind of ran out to Virginia to escape everything. First night, didn't do it. Second night, I said, I'm about to do it. And third night, which is really crazy, is I actually asked to be possessed to do what I did. Mm. I actually asked to, because I was afraid to do it already. Mm. So the strength that I guess I needed to whatever evil that I was about to commit, I needed some type of evil power to possess me, to commit me to do what I was doing. So I said that night, did the robbery, ended up getting locked up 3 months prior after that of them coming forth with the information of my ex-girlfriend getting caught, knowing the person who we actually robbed at the store, them putting two and two together, them coming to find me and locking me up. So it was a wild period for me at that time in 2008 of my father passing. So yes, that led me down a path of just recklessness, and that would kind of led me to getting locked up.
And what is your relationship with your brother now? Now that you are in the truth?
Yeah, me and my older brother, we're back in good standings. We're on good terms. I apologize plenty of times over when I was in the system. Didn't hear from him until, I'll say, 2 years of me coming close to coming home. Mm-hmm. But we kind of buried the hatchet face to face because he lives out in West Virginia now. We buried the hatchet face to face, told him my part of the story of what happened between us, and we've been forgiven. And we're pretty much almost back to how we were when we were younger. Slept in the same bedroom, or grew up in the same bedroom, excuse me. Been together since we were birthed. He moved out at 18. That kind of put a damper on me. I kind of lost my best friend. So being out in California, out on my own, that kind of led me to do things, joining the gang activity, growing up in Compton, California, and just running wild in the streets.
And that's definitely hard to hear, especially with somebody coming from a background when your mom's a cop, mm-hmm. your dad exactly. is a pastor. Were they still together at the time you was in college?
No, my mother and father divorced at a very young age. I was still a baby at the time that they actually divorced due to whatever situation that they had between them, but still had a good relationship. Saw my father anytime I needed to see him. We was, of course, had custody under our mother. So I guess birthdays, holidays, we would go see our father. My father, he had us when he was, I'll say, in his 50s. Mm. So that's another thing as well. I didn't really have that father figure in my life due to my father being the age that he was when he had us. He was about 55 when he had me. And so when I became a teenager, my father was already in his 60s. He passed away when he was about 65.
Okay.
So, yeah, he was already up there in age by the time I was an adult. So I didn't really have him or have an active father in my life. Had my father, and he instilled things in me, taught me things. Mm-hmm. But I don't have that father to tell me, this is what you need to do, or you did wrong. Let me sit you down and give you a talk. I didn't have that growing up. So I'll kind of learn things on my own as a man, messed up plenty of times, still failing as a man because I don't have that, I guess, role model. I can say, hey, this is who I can look up to and say, this is who I can model myself after, because everything that we have in the world go against what I'm trying to live as. Mm-hmm. So I have really no model to go off on except me being humble and staying in his word and just living my life and having that personal relationship with him.
Have you felt his correction? Like, we all felt the strap come out against us. Have you felt or know certain aspects in your walk that you felt that strap come out on you?
Yes, true indeed. Best believe prison was one of those. I always say it was a gift and a curse of going in there, because a curse of being locked up for 8 years and losing part of my life, I would say serious years of my young life, but also a gift. Because who knows of what lifestyle I would have been in had I not gone to prison, living the same way I was living. So it was definitely some correction there, because that's when the enlightenment came and the awakening came and me actually getting more and more into this word and into this truth and stepping away from Christianity, coming into, I wouldn't say, I guess, not a Hebrew Israelite, but just coming into knowing my actual history of a person from the Bible and trying to live that way. So yeah, I've had plenty of correction times. Another correction was the female I was dealing with, my ex. Got with her around the time we had worked in the same industry in the IT field. She was a person I even said, but when I had known of her history, she had a child, she had a baby father, things of that nature. And I said to myself, oh, I'm not about to get with this person. And sure enough, 2 or 3 months down the line, I'm talking to this person, got into a relationship with this person, been knowing this person now for 3 years of my life. During the first part of our relationship, of us coming in together, everything was fine with my life. It seemed like everything was going smooth. I'm getting back on track with things. I had always had a hard upbringing to where me being on my own and me being incarcerated, it was hard to, I guess, get jobs and secure living for myself. So I've always had a roommate or had somebody extra there to help me along the way. And so this person came into my life and it seemed like everything just started crumbling. I feel like I was getting attacked spiritually from just demonic forces out of nowhere. My mind felt was being attacked. Things would start happening on the job. I started losing money. I started losing work. I started gaining ailments in my body out of nowhere that I didn't know that I had. And I had to tell this person, like, I have to step away from you. I feel this is something I have to deal with on my own. I'm going through some hardships. I'm about to lose my home. I'm lost on bills. And I felt all this was just from me dealing with this person, saying in my heart, because in the Bible I read that you can say oaths in your heart and they can be recorded and they're listening. And if you don't stick to those, you do have consequences. So I said in my heart, Heavenly Father, you know, I do not want to deal with this person and I should be dealing with this person. And then I went against what I said, end up dealing with this person. And it seemed like all these things just started to happen. So I had to back away from this person. She felt, of course, they when a person, when you're dealing with somebody, they don't think it's other deeper means behind you wanting to back away from a relationship or stop the relationship. Mind you, this person isn't of a spiritual mind as well. They're very carnal minded and into things of the world. Mm-hmm. So coming into the relationship was a unequally yoked situation already. So telling that person I have to step away, they felt that I was hurting them or bringing them into a situation and wasting their time. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I can't even give you the deeper meaning because you wouldn't even comprehend it. Mm. And even still, when I had gave a deeper meaning, it was thrown back in my face. So I don't try to use, I guess, my faith or my personal beliefs as a reason to sometimes, because people will throw that back in your face and try to weaponize it and use it against you. Mm-hmm. So that was that first instance. The second instance, okay, I'm single. Everything is fine again. Work is picking back up. I'm starting to mature in the faith. Everything is coming along. It seemed like I'm on the right path and things are smooth. And I said, okay, well, let me try to be with this person again. Let me try, because I said I don't want to be in a relationship because I feel I'm not ready for it. And also, is there some spiritual things in my life that I'm going through that I just can't handle the two right now? So I felt at this time I can handle both. And sure enough, a correction came down hard again. I was going to see this person on one particular night in my vehicle, and I'm driving down the highway on 95. I get off the highway and I almost get into an accident. Swerve from that person about to hit me, back off of them, swerve out the lane and try to speed up to get out of their way. End up hitting the curb because the street closed off. I end up swerving into the lane to the left, swerved my car back over to the right, ran into a curb and flipped my car over and slid about a couple of feet. Very life-threatening situation. I felt I could have lost my life in it. And it was all going to go see this person. Mm-hmm. And I felt that was some correction from there to say, hey, I thought we was done with this situation. I freed you from it. I blessed you from it, gave you peace from it, and now you want to go back to it? Well, let me smack you with some realization and let you know that I'm real. Right. Since you want to test me, I'm a test you. So yeah, I've been corrected plenty of times.
And you felt that even when I would say as even a child, because when you look back and think all the situations where you know you either could have been dead or could have been in major trouble, but you knew somebody was watching over you, just couldn't understand it. And do you mm-hmm. feel that connection with the Father that, man, he really was watching out for me all these times. And now I understand it now. Now he's presenting himself to me.
Yes, indeed. Because I'll even take it all the way back to prison. In prison, never had a fight. Never had any type of homosexual activity come my way. Never got into any type of skirmish or any detriment in prison to where it tricked up my time. Mm-hmm. Anything that I asked for, I received, because mm-hmm. I was praying at the time and saying, you know, Heavenly Father, I need you at this moment in my life. This is a long road that I'm facing. I got 8 years to do in a state that I've never been in and around individuals that I've never experienced. Mm-hmm. I'm locked up with people from Norfolk, from D.C., and from all these other places in Virginia who I guess claim to be these hood places. And I'm this kid from California, Compton, California. And what's crazy is being from Compton, California kind of gave me a badge or a shield, per se, just for the glorification of the gang life from being out there. Mm-hmm. So you have guys who haven't really experienced gang activity or faked the gang life out here, see somebody from from that place actually there and actually was in it, it kind of gave me a path to move how I needed to move. So even in those times, I looked at that as I was covered in some way to say whatever I needed, toiletries, food, commissary, anything that I needed, like it was provided for me. And looking back on certain things, I can truly say, like, yes, I was truly looked over during those times.
Okay. Have your view, I'm gonna go back to your ex-girlfriend. So have your views of what type of woman you actually want changed since that person?
Yes, it has. Right now, I'm just on a path of solidarity. I think my path is really on a solo path. Because I say that because the type of woman that I see for myself, she has to be a woman of the Most High. She has to be a woman to have the mind of the Most High and to be in the things that I'm into. Most women these days are not into spiritual things. Most of the women that we see are into whatever social media is projecting out or whatever's on TV as far as celebrities and things of that nature. So I feel my path is really a solo one to where he will bring her in his own timing. His timing right now is focusing on me getting my walk and my life together to where I can start performing works for him and start doing work for the kingdom. Because that's where I'm at in my walk right now, to where I read the Sefer. I'm reading the original names. I'm trying to go by these original names. I'm trying to get off the calendar. I'm trying to start observing these feast days. I haven't celebrated any type of holiday since I've been incarcerated. So I say my path right now is just one of being one of the Father and seeing what my path and where my work for him is leading me. So my focus, or I guess for women, shouldn't even be a thought right now.
I feel you. And you say you could rap. Do you ever feel the need to do rap truth music? Have you gotten into, like, cause I know there's a lot of brothers doing it right now.
I've tried it. It's kind of tough. Because the creativity isn't there anymore. Like I said, right. I stopped back in 2012. I wrote a book in prison, loosely based and exaggerated off events of my life that led me up to being incarcerated, and of course, some literary flair to make it readable. And I used it in a sense of me being in the music business and use, I guess, raps in my book. But from that point on, I haven't really rapped pretty much since. I have a friend that raps now, and my brother, he plays some of our music every now and again, but the creativity just isn't there. Right. Isn't there anymore, man.
So you feel like your calling is going to be soon to teach and even teach those brothers who are either previously incarcerated or incarcerated now. You feel kind of your spirit pull you into that type of direction?
Yes, I do, because even coming out of the system, me being one of those guys in there and listening and seeing the guys come in from the outside and giving us the word, sometimes it's coming across to where it's not really hitting the way it should be to really get into the minds of these brothers of what's really going on. Like I said, it's pretty much still the watered down prosperity, feel good gospel from what I was receiving when I was in there. So it wasn't nobody like a Stephen Darby that was giving me some good, hard truth and letting me know what's what. Mm-hmm. So that leads me to when I hear guys like you and Stephen Darby, which was crazy, you kind of led me to Stephen Darby. I had seen him on a clip of yours one time on a post, mm-hmm. and I wanted to check him out, and I just got real heavy into listening to his messages mm-hmm. and getting real into what he was talking about, and I appreciate that brother for his work. But yes, it called me to be the one to shed the real truth and the real light, like you said, sight to the blind, to mm-hmm. give back to these brothers who I was once in their position, and they're leaning on I wouldn't say a false faith, because they're still being taught under a Christian doctrine, mm-hmm. but to give them the truth of who they really are and to start telling them who they are as a people, who they are under the Most High, I believe that will be soon my work, because like I said, coming into teaching and giving Bible studies and being that person that can, I guess, be relatable in that sense, to connect to the younger generation and still connect with some of the older brothers as well. I feel I'm right there within that gap to bridge that the two, to actually do that type of work.
And have you been tested in your faith? Has your knowledge of the word been tested yet?
I would say yes, because you will hear and look at things on posts that will kind of combat what you're believing in and try to go against what you believe in and what you've been reading. Mm-hmm. And for your own self, you would say, well, I believe this. I read this and I've read and studied and researched and I've done my own studies on it to know that this is fact. But then you'll see a post kind of say something counteractive to that. And then you'll kind of be shaken a little bit like, hey, because you see all the comments mm-hmm. of people agreeing and saying, yes, this is it. This is it. This is this. And it kind of shakes you a little bit to say, well, hold on. Am I really believing what I'm reading? Is what I'm reading the truth as well? Right. So, yes, but that just comes from being stern in the faith and what you believe in, being sound-minded with the Most High, and just being steadfast in your beliefs, not wavering to the left or to the right, because it's said in the Word, men will come with strange new doctrines and we will have itching ears. Mm-hmm. So we will want to run and hear these things because they will kind of correlate with our same beliefs and bring some of those things that we believe into, it will bring some of their beliefs that we believe also into ours, but it doesn't exactly correlate as a whole. So it will kind of test you in a sense to where you will say, well, I'm reading this and I believe this is his name. But everybody's saying, well, no, this is his name, because there's a guy who I follow as well. I read from the Sefer. His name is Yahuwah, or mm-hmm. his name is Yahusha. Mm-hmm. I have a guy who I follow where they call him Yahweh Shahashi or something of that nature from the Hebrew Israelite community. So it's a toss up between what you believe in and how steadfast you are mm-hmm. and what you believe in, because you can be tested and it can shake you sometimes to where even what you feel that you believe in will make you feel shaky as well.
Right. Is there any parts of the of scripture that you're struggling with, like struggling to understand?
As far as what you mean?
As far as just certain things you run into, either the feast days or the Shabbats, mm-hmm. is when you go through the Sefer, even the Sefer has a couple of mistakes in it. I just noted from seeing it. And then some people have a doctrine where, no, the new moon means it's just a sliver. And the new moon means when the whole moon is full. Have you ran into anything that you're struggling to get over?
Oh, no, not as of yet, to where I don't have any, understanding, or I'm not fully comprehending of what I'm reading. I haven't came across any of that yet.
Good. So how do you feel right now in this walk? Is it troubling you? Because a lot of people assume once you get into this walk, it's going to be all rainbows and the yellow brick road. It's constant correction. It's constant showing that you don't know it all. And it's constantly telling you or exposing your sins to you. Do you feel... Where are you at in this walk as you feel that? Are you still reminiscing on past sins, or you feel like, okay, what's my next challenge going forward?
I'll say a little bit of both, because a lot of things from my past have been surfacing up in my mind to where it's letting me know the things that I were into at a young age and how I transitioned into where I am into now. So it's almost to where it's giving me a sense of I'm being thankful and grateful and repenting of those things that I used to do and being saying, thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing me out of that lifestyle and bringing me from that life to where you have me now. Am I the perfect person for you now? Far from it. But am I still trying and going day by day to be a person of the Most High and to stay on this path? Yes. I lose my train of thought. Sorry.
Oh, take your time.
Because I repent on past things. And oh my gosh. Forgive me, brother.
No, you're good.
Your question was,
Like how where are you at now? Do you still
where am I at now is just reading every day and trying to show myself approved, study to show thyself approved on a day-to-day basis. Do I get hot-headed with individuals still? Yes. Do people still get on my nerves? Yes. Do a curse word come out my mouth every now and again? Yes. I'm not perfect, but I'm walking in that way to where I'm relying on him and not leaning on my own understanding, because I fall victim to my own self every day. Mm-hmm. And fall victim to my own, I guess, understanding on a day-to-day basis, to where I cannot take a day off, mm-hmm. to where I need to at least read and be in his presence on a day-to-day basis, because I feel time is of the essence. I don't want to be one of those people caught doing something that I'm not supposed to be doing, and that's the day he calls me home, mm-hmm. and I don't get to get inside the building. Right. So I'm trying to live as righteous as I can, and just on that path of righteousness and right standing with him.
Have you tried to get rebaptized? If you were baptized when I think we all were baptized when we were mm-hmm. younger in the Christian mm-hmm. church. Have you decided to try to redo that, or is it not a thing that you're thinking about?
I don't. It's not a thing that I have thought about. Also, with I guess baptism, yes, it's renewal of the spirit and becoming a new creation, being born again. As far as how would baptism work now under this new, mm-hmm. I wouldn't say new, but under the truth, mm-hmm. I want to know, will it have the same or a newer effect? Because when I use the names Yahuwah and Yahusha, I get a certain sensation and a feeling inside of me when I say these names, to where it feels like this power is just in these names. So maybe so. I haven't thought about it, but maybe so. If maybe to be rebaptized will bring some more regrowth or regeneration in the spirit.
Yeah, I did it when I made the mistake of doing it at a Christian church when I came mm-hmm. in. It was when I first came into it, but mm-hmm. I had my daughter immersed by some Israelite brothers, and I felt a difference between when I did it to when I saw her do it. It was just mm-hmm. the presence of the Most High was there, and it was an amazing feeling. So that's why I was just asking, if I don't really ask that many, you know, people, have they ever been re-immersed, to see if mm-hmm. it would be different. But I was just seeing if it was like something that was on your mind to do.
So that's something I can look into.
Right. So where are you at with the relationship with your mom? Is she still a police officer? Is she still in law?
No, she's retired. Me and my mom's relationship, it was rocky at one point, because me being the rebellious child that I was, she kicked me out of her home, to where it led me to go live with my father back in mm-hmm. California. We stayed out in Pasadena, California with my mom. Okay. And so transitioning from leaving her house and getting kicked out of her home at 18, it kind of left some, I guess, a sour taste in both our mouths as far as our relationship goes. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really get back in contact with my mother until, I'll say, a year or two into my prison sentence, around 2009. I had a cellie of mine. He was going home, and just so happened, I still knew my mother's email address. And I told him, hey, when you get out there, email my mom for me and tell her I love her and da-da-da-da-da, and just give her my information so she could write me. He actually followed up on it, kept his word, heard from my mother, and I'll say from 2010 to all the way now, we've kind of repaired our relationship. She loved the person that I have become. She respects my view on the word now and how I use the original names. Before, she used to tell me, like I said, well, the Lord knows this name was going to be changed, so it doesn't matter, da-da-da-da-da. But now it's more so, I appreciate you standing on your principles and your morals and standing up for your faith and using the original names. So yeah, I would say our relationship has gotten a whole lot better.
Good. I definitely love to see that, because I'm in a position where I can't share this type of knowledge with my mom and my father. So I love hearing.
Indeed. Now, not to cut you off, because there is still that line to where she's so heavy into Christianity from growing up in it all the way until, how old is my mom? About 69, 70 years old now. Mm-hmm. So she is, it's It's in her.
Right.
So it would be hard to, it's hard pressed to come to her and say, Mom, you know, we're really Israelites. These are the feast days that, that he has set before us. You know, we're not supposed to be celebrating these things. I'm still met with, well, this is the reason why we do it. And we still celebrate Christmas because we know this is the birth of the son, and we do it to engage with family and to promote the gospel and that nature. So I'm still combating with that to where I don't come around on holidays. This one coming up right now, I'm pretty sure on that day my phone is going to be lighting up with the text messages and all that, and I refrain from them all the time, and they know that I do. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing that's still, I guess, the hard part of where we're trying to get at in our relationship as far as our walk goes.
Okay.
Is bringing my family out of that, because my whole family is still in that. Mind you, my father was a preacher. I have a sister who's a prophetess. I have another sister who her husband is a pastor. My sister who was a prophetess, her husband was a pastor of his own church. And things of that nature. And so I just have my auntie. She's heavy into the church. Her husband was a pastor. So I'm just having this whole heavy Christian background. Yes. So, yes, I have like, I'm the only one that kind of knows this information and knows this knowledge. And I try to spread it to my brother and his wife. His wife, my sister, she's receptive to it. Mm-hmm. And she's coming in. So she comes to me to ask me questions about things that I feel her husband could try to relay the information to, but I feel her knowing the information that I know, it kind of brings her towards my way to say, hey, well, let me ask Tim's opinion, because I feel, I don't know, just, I guess the spirit is just calling her towards me to where it's, I'm able to shed the light and open her eyes, and hopefully it will kind of expand and broaden out to everyone else.
Right. Oh, so it's definitely like that that parable of the seed, like you just dropping the seeds and hoping that it's on fertile ground. But you almost have to know the word better than the pastors having to know the word, because that's who you're going up against. And it's just funny the way your life is right now, where you're awakened, but having a pastoral background and then having to reteach everything that pastors already think they know. So it's I know that's it's been a struggle with you. Every single time you come in contact with them.
Yes, because I've learned by reading everyone who was a priest or a prophet in the Bible didn't go to any type of seminar or theological school or anything of that nature. But everyone today seems to have been through some type of seminary school or a theology course or a thing of that nature. And you're learning your information from, I'll say, from a system who wants to control you. So it had to make me come out of that too as well to say, hey, I don't need anybody to teach me, because when I read in the Bible, wasn't nobody teaching them. It was a direct connection of them talking with the Spirit, or the Spirit being filled with them and Yahuwah visiting them in a form of an angel of some sort. So to see and to have that as my background and to know that I have to combat that, it is a tough road.
Right. What would you tell brothers in your situation, either since you're so unique and you actually been incarcerated, what would you tell young brothers who either coming out of prison or feel they're going to eventually go in it because they can't stop their foolishness? What would be the word that you need to help inspire these young brothers?
Stay the course. Find your faith and stay the course. Connect to the Most High as much as possible. Because I tell this to my nephew. Everything that you need is from the Most High. Everything that you can ask for is going to come from the Most High. Everything that I've read from the Bible, everything was provided for the children of Yashareel by the Most High. He wanted to be our king. He wanted to be our ruler. He wants to govern over us. He wants us to worship him. So I'll say, by all things, get into a relationship with him. Find like-minded brothers, which is hard-pressed to do these days because I still haven't found one. Thankful I have a brother like you. And like I said, I had Stephen Darby for the time that I was watching his videos. But there's really, there's no role models that we can really look up to. Mm. So I would say just stay the course. If you have faith in the Most High, get more into it. And the more you pray, I'll say the better your life will become, because that's something I'm getting into now, is building up my prayer life. It's been diminished over the years because of me trying to back away from coming out of religion, that it kind of diminished my prayer life to where I'll have conversation with the Most High, but I have no prayer life until, you had your episode of modeling how you pray. Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted to hear, well, how do I pray now? How do I give thanks to the Most High? And I appreciate you for having that episode. It kind of felt like the Spirit spoke through you to me in that episode. So for any brother who's doing anything out there, please let it be positive. If you're thinking about doing anything negative or you're in the lifestyle, trust and believe, I'm one who went through it. Is not the life that you want to live. The glamorous life that they try to show you of what prison is definitely not it. Thankfully, I didn't have to go through nothing to where I had to fend for my life or had to fight for my life in there. But I've witnessed things in there to where I could have been a part of those same situations had I not been covered the way I was covered in there.
Mm. And what do you say in this generation is wrong with the brothers right now? Like, what do you think they're struggling with?
They pride in their ego.
Right.
Their pride in their ego, not wanting to be, I'll say, under someone else's tutelage or being seen or being, the way we say it today, being sunned. Nobody wants to be sunned by somebody else to where, I have somebody giving me knowledge as far as the big brother. Nobody wants to play big brother. Nobody wants to have a big brother. Nobody wants to be that OG to give the knowledge anymore. So I'll say our biggest problem is our ego and our pride of coming out of thinking that we have all the answers for our own selves. Because me not having a male figure in my life, I've seen where it led me. I've seen the path that had taken me down of getting into prison, of getting into lifestyles that I shouldn't have been a part of, based off of what I've seen other people do and seeing the things that they got from it and seeing if I could be the same person to receive those same type of things. Everybody's life is different. And so don't try to live nobody else's life, especially if you're not about that life, because you will get tested. And if you're not ready for it, it will be a hard one for you.
So you right now, you're in the process of really, truly wanting the Most High to eventually make you a cover verse so you can have you have kids right now or no?
I do not.
Brothers out here is 37 years old, no kids. Ladies, yeah, if you're listening.
I don't want to say the reason why. Excuse me, Heavenly Father. You know why I'm not one. Excuse me, but yes, 37 years, it's a blessing. And I feel, as you say that, I believe there's a reason why I'm not one as of yet, for the reason of the path that I feel that he has me on. Mm-hmm. I feel there's still some work that needs to be done within me personally before I can be a type of father figure to somebody or a husband to a woman in that type of way. So there's still some growth in me that he's still building up, of course, before children or a wife is probably even thought of right now.
And I think women need to hear that's in the truth, because they are searching for their covering. They're searching for their husband, and they need to hear from either like people like you or brothers like you to know that the Most High is working on your man. He's working on your second half. He's working on your rib right now. So in order for everything to come in a proper time and the proper patience need to be had. So brothers like that, we need to know that it's a process, and they need to know that there are brothers like you in the process to become a husband and a father. So it's the work is working. So you just got to be patient.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
Thanks, my brother. This has been a joy to have you on this podcast. I know we talked about it a couple of times before, and I'm just glad right now that I actually got to have you on, because you had an amazing story, and I think it's a story that everybody needs to truly hear. Do you have any lasting words for the brothers or the sisters out there that now you have become a new man in the walk with the Most High? Have you have any last words for them?
Last words. Keep the faith. Stay strong. With all things, take them to the Father. Lean on Him for everything that you need of this life that we're living right now, and especially the times that we're in. They're very hard and they're very trying times. But you just have to be knowledgeable. And like you say, you have to have that shield of, you have to have that armor of God on at all times. Mm-hmm. You have to be shielded. You have to be covered. You have to be prayed up. These forces out here and these spiritual forces, they're running rampant. They attack you through social media. They're even coming in through your children, coming in through your coworker. So always know also, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of the high places in the air. Mm-hmm. So don't always think that it's Johnny from that's in management that's coming at you. It might be a spiritual force working behind him to either awaken you to something, to get you hip to something, or to steer you clear to let you know, like, hey, whatever you're dealing with, this is not the path that we're going. So the Most High will put certain things in your path and in your life to make you take heed to. Mm-hmm. And if you don't take those warnings or hear those warnings, it may be too late, because there have been plenty of times where I've had learned my lesson after the fact. Mm-hmm. I had to go back and I had to go through the lesson and then look back and say, hey, that's where he gave me the hint. And mm-hmm. that's where he gave me the exit, but I didn't take the exit. Mm-hmm. So always be mindful of that. When you hear those little hints or something drops in your spirit to say, hey, don't do this, or hey, take this right, or hey, make this phone call, please do it. Because I found out on the other side of things, of not heeding to those, that still small voice, consequences are on the other side of that.
Right, right. Glad to hear, my brother. Definitely gonna check back in on you further on. Next time I put you on the show, you may be 45 or 50, but you better be coming with my first child. I'm got married.
Right? Yes, sir.
All right, my brothers. Nice talking to you.
You too, Larry. Thank you again, brother. Please too.
You too, all.